Tomorrow in our country, of course, we will celebrate Veterans Day. We are so grateful for the men and women of our armed forces through the years. They have over the years occupied many battlefields around the world. Over the years, they have fought in wars that were sometimes justified and sometimes some think were not. But they answered the call and they went, and now we have a volunteer army. So those who go today go because they choose to, because they love their country, they love freedom, and they want to make sure that we continue to have the freedoms that we do, to have the ability to assemble like we're doing tonight, to know that we do not have to answer to governments and tyrants that would take away our freedoms. And so we're truly grateful for all of our veterans and for all that they have done, all that they are, all that will be done by veterans in days to come. In the Bible, we find that Christians are called to a special type of service, to a special type of warfare, to be soldiers for Christ. It's a different kind of call. It's a different call because what the Christian does, his call is different in the weapons that he will use. It's different in its purpose, and it's different in its outcome. Christian soldiers need to remember the challenge that the Lord has placed before us, but also the trust that he has placed in us. In his writings, the Apostle Paul often dealt with daily living and the things that we would do as Christians. And along these lines, in regard to our being Christian soldiers, he said this in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. And I'm reading from the King James Version. I'll mention one of the words or phrases from the New King James in a moment. But it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity." Paul's message was not his own. It was from Christ, and he made sure that people knew that. In the letter to the church of Galatia, in Galatians 1, beginning at verse 11, he said, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." As he was concluding the first letter to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, he said, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." With that in mind, it was our commander, Jesus Christ, who gave orders through the inspired apostles, and in this case, especially the Apostle Paul, for each one of us as we become a Christian soldier, as we stand up to battle the forces of evil that are in the world, the temptations that Satan would put before us. And imagine how much better life could be if every person would meet that challenge and would stand up for what they know to be right. Notice what Paul said in those two verses. The first thing he said was to watch. He was not the only apostle that commanded us to watch. We find that command given in the Old Testament, but I'm staying in the New Testament. Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant," another word to watch, "and to watch intently, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Tells us to watch. As Christians, we're surrounded by many temptations. It is therefore imperative that we watch, that we be on guard, because we can be tricked and we can be deceived. We have all probably been deceived from time to time in thinking that we were strong and that nothing could ever tempt us or that we would not get caught off guard. And yet, sure enough, it will happen. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6, "Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." That word sober from 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 and 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 is a word that means free from any intoxicant. It means free from anything that would change our ability to perceive and to understand. The idea is that we should be fully in full control of our faculties at all times so that we could know and that we could avoid, that we could recognize and avoid temptation. No matter how close we are to Christ, even Christians need to watch continually to be on guard against temptation and sin. Jesus told his own disciples in the garden, Matthew 26 and verse 41, he said, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." We must be especially careful of bad influences that can have subtle effects. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." One other translation says it corrupts good morals. Sister Amelia used to always say, show me your friends and I'll tell you your character. Now, a lot of people say, well, it doesn't matter who my friends are. It doesn't matter what associations I have. Well, yes, it does. We may think that it doesn't. We may think that they won't influence us to evil. We may think that they will never tempt us to do that which is wrong. But if you surround yourself with people that are living for the devil, eventually you're going to be following after them. It's easier to pull someone down than it is to pick them up. And we need to be careful about our associations. That doesn't mean that we should take ourselves out of the world and never be around people that that have questionable ideas about life and morality. It means that they should not be the ones with whom we spend the majority of our time. The time that we do spend with them, we need to try to be a good influence and help them learn a better way of life. The devil is especially good at deception. And that's why both Adam and Eve fell to temptations, the temptations of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, as Peter described them. So we must watch, because as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, we are not ignorant of his devices. Not ignorant of his devices. Paul's charge was then to watch, but then also to stand fast in the faith. If we're going to stand fast in the faith, we're going to have to know what it is. We're going to have to make a commitment. We're going to have to be strong in what we're doing. Remember what we read in Jude 3. It said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was necessary for me to write unto you and to exhort that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once and for all delivered unto the saints. For the faith, the system of faith. There is only one. He used that article to prove that, or to show that. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, it is called the one faith. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. In Ephesians chapter 6, we read about one of the ways in which we are to stand fast in the faith. He said in verse 10, beginning, finally, my brethren, be strong and in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole or complete armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. It's going to take all of that armor for us to have done all to stand. But with that armor, we can. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, as he began that chapter, that he wanted those people that had listened to him, that had heard him, he wanted them to be strong in their faith, and he wanted them to stand. And he gave them reason why they should stand. Because people will challenge our faith in God, our faith in Christ. Paul said this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if, it's conditional, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James and of all of the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet or worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. He wrote to them and said, your faith is not bound in fables, in deception, or anything else that the world might use to try to pull you away or to deceive you or to gain from you. Paul said, your faith is put in the reality that can be proven by all of these people. About 500 people, most of them were still alive. Paul said, you can go and ask these people. They were eyewitnesses. They saw him. So I don't want you to have any doubt. I don't want you to have any concern about this, because I want you to watch and stand fast in the faith. As he came to the conclusion of that book in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. To hold fast means to be committed. It demands 100% dedication to the Word of God, to knowing it, to standing for it, to stand on it, and stand with it, and stand behind it to defend it. So Paul says here in his challenge, he said, watch, stand fast in the faith. The King James Version says, quit you like men. The New King James says, be brave. Be brave. And that's what it means. Christians cannot afford to give an inch to Satan. There's an old saying that says, give Satan an inch and he will become your ruler. And there's a lot of truth to that. When we begin to make, from the moment we begin to make compromise, and we compromise with error, begin to compromise truth, we begin down the road to destruction and to disaster. We have got to be brave to take a stand for what we know it is right. And we know that those who are in the Lord's army are in an all-volunteer army. We are Christians because we choose to be Christians. We live the Christian life because that is our choice, not because we are being forced to do that. Being brave has more to do, or has a lot to do, with being mature in Christ, because spiritual bravery is a product of spiritual maturity. The more we learn, the more we understand, the more convinced we are of what we believe, then the more committed we can be to the fight of doing what is right and doing what is right for the Lord. Those who are brave will stop acting like children spiritually. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. By love, steadfastness, and spiritual maturity, one shows himself to be strong in the Lord. You might die for your cause. You might have to die for Christianity. We don't face that threat like these people did. There are people around the world, though, that are being put to death for being Christians even today. And it might be that sometime that something can happen that we might have to die for what we believe and to die for our cause, but we must never yield. Jesus said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. The devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. You may have tribulation 10 days, which means it will be a complete tribulation. It will be something that will rock you to your core. But he said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee the crown of life. So Paul's challenge was watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and then be strong. Strength requires nourishment. As our human body, our fleshly body, cannot survive without spiritual food, without physical food, the spiritual part of ourselves cannot survive without spiritual food as well. Christians grow by ingesting and digesting God's Word. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. That you may grow thereby. We cannot grow without nourishment, just as that little baby, just as that child, and even adult, when we begin to eat the solid food, we have to have it physically to survive. It makes sense that we would require the same spiritually. Strength requires exercise. Athletes train to be competitive. Military recruits, they go to basic training. To be strong, Christians must exercise. In fact, the Hebrews writer chastised people for not doing that. In Hebrews 5 and verse 12, beginning, he said, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again that which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we must exercise. We must look at the Word, rightly divide the Word, study the Word, understand it, and be fully committed to it. But strength also, if we're going to be strong like Paul said, strength also requires trust. Or trust is what I'm trying to say. Christian soldiers must know that the battle plan is sound. They must know that the commander's promise of victory is true and that they can depend upon it. Paul said, for I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And he went on to say that he knew that the Lord, the righteous judge, was going to give him that crown of righteousness. He said, I know. He knew that he would. He was confident. That's why when he concluded the 1 Corinthians letter in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, he said, be steadfast. Be steadfast. We have to be strong. To be strong, we need to be quick to realize, to recognize sin and be prepared to resist it. Paul said, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 15:56-57. And then in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, again, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Paul's challenge: watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, and finally, let all that you do be done with love. Putting love in all that we do is one of the greatest challenges of a Christian's virtue. Love should motivate our obedience. We talked about that this morning. John 15:14. Read 1 John. Just over and over and over again, we are told that it is love that will ensure our faithfulness. It is love that will ensure our unity. It is love that will build us up, not tear us down. All of those things need to be done with love. We don't need to keep the commandments of God just because we have to. We need to keep them because we want to. And it's only when we keep them because we want to that we will be successful. Anyone can bark out orders and say, "Well, you do this and you do that." And someone does it because they feel obligated. But it's by love that we keep the commandments of the Lord. Paul said something about love in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 1, that really applies here. He said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal." One translation says a clanging cymbal. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing." Paul said all of these things are done by love. So we as Christians must be careful that love not only reigns in our hearts, but shines in our lives. Jesus taught that we need to be a light, that others could see our good works and glorify God. Matthew 5:13-16. We need to be dedicated soldiers for Christ. We need a Veterans Day for Christians, don't we? But we need to be dedicated soldiers for Christ. Our commander leads an all-volunteer army. He leads it against the worst enemy that man has ever known, and that is Satan. In fact, if it were not for Satan, none of the other wars that our physical military has ever fought, those wars would have never happened. It is only because of Satan that the first murder occurred in the garden. It is only because of Satan that the first war was ever waged. And if there are wars that happen in the future, it will only be because of Satan. But as Christians, we need to be strong. And the all-volunteer army that the Lord leads is an army that stands against the deception and the destruction that Satan would bring into our world. If people would only observe what we sometimes call the golden rule, "Whatsoever therefore you would that men should do unto you, do you also unto them." If people would observe that rule, there would be no more wars. There would be no more crime. There would be no conflict between people. The one thing for sure is that God loves us, and he wants us to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. We can return that love today. We can do it tonight by answering the call of duty as a soldier of the cross. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to confess that? Don't be ashamed of Christ. Certainly it was a painful thing, but it was an embarrassing thing to go to the cross. It was a shameful thing, what was done to a human being who was hung there. Don't be ashamed of him or to confess that you believe in him. Are you willing to repent of sins, to be buried with Christ in baptism, to have sins forgiven? As a child of God, have you been living faithfully? Have you answered the call? Have you been a soldier? Have you been AWOL? If so, you need to come home. God's waiting. There's no penalty. There's forgiveness. If we repent, if we confess our sins, we have his promise that he will forgive. 1 John 1:9. Will you answer the Lord's call if you haven't already? Would you come as we stand and as we sing?